Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. My name is Keith Brownell. On today's show, we ask our listeners to weigh in on the subject of Stand Your Ground laws. Host Jim Boyd will be joined by attorney David Bell. To accommodate as many callers as possible this week, we will not have our calendar of events. The calendar can still be found on Jaws of Justice Radio page on KKFI website. That's KKFI.org and on our Facebook page. Please keep your comments and questions brief and to the point so as many folks as possible can be heard. And now, here's David and Jim.
Hello, I'm James Boyd. I'm interviewing local attorney David Bell with Wirsch, Hobbs & Meraki. We're going to be talking about Stand Your Ground laws. David, could you summarize for us the Stand Your Ground laws and when they originated?
Sure. The Stand Your Ground laws, I know the one we're going to talk about today in particular, I believe during a pre-show discussion we talked about in 2005, I think, indicated in Florida. And basically what the Stand Your Ground law says is that you have no obligation to retreat anywhere you're legally permitted to be. And so in those situations, if confronted, you have the right to stand your ground and to use force.
See. Is there any overt or inadvertent racial bias in the constitution of the law?
So, and I think this gets right into the Trayvon Martin case, and I've been thinking a lot about this, and I think for the most part, as it's written, it's hard to see the racial bias in the law. But let's look at the application of the Trayvon Martin case. It's my belief a few things happened in Trayvon Martin that had they happened differently, the case would have gone the other direction. The first is the defense asked, the prosecution asked the judge not to include certain language in the jury instruction. That language was the initial aggressor language. Had that language been included in the jury instruction, the jury would have been instructed as follows, essentially. If you believe that Zimmerman was the initial aggressor, then he is not permitted to rely upon stand your ground as a defense. In that case, I think the jury probably would have convicted him. With regard to the racial bias part, you know, the other thing I was thinking about as we're talking about the law and how it's applied, if you look at someone like Trayvon Martin, he was being, I think, at least followed by an unusual-looking man who was not identifying himself as a law enforcement officer, and Trayvon Martin was in a place that he is permitted to be in. And so what you've got in that situation is what does Trayvon Martin do? Well, Trayvon Martin keeps walking. He keeps seeing this goofy-looking guy following him. And what Trayvon Martin does at that point is he calls his girlfriend, I believe, or a good friend of his. If you take, and I can only speak for myself in that situation, if I've got a goofy-looking person following me who's not identifying themselves as law enforcement, who then at some point in the interaction points to me and says, I want to talk to you, or you come here, or what are you doing, my first reaction would be to call the police.